Where is Miss Joysanna?
She dropped the eggs and ran. And getting ready for an experiment.
She's doing eggshell today.
Oh, that's right.
She never helped put the tent up?
No.
You're going to put the tent up today?
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Should be quite an experience.
All righty, Romans 8. We studied yesterday, we stopped at verse 11, I think. The one thing, if you look in the scriptures, I don't know if you do, but I always run across those people that say that that we have the mind of Christ, therefore our mind is sanctified, therefore we can da-di-da-di-da. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine. That is the supreme example that Jesus never leaned on his own arm of understanding. I mean, there could be no more distinctive, and plus what Harry said yesterday about that it's the same kind of thing, but it's in a way that's hard to understand, that he did not raise himself from the dead. And we're not going to go through them all, but Acts 2:24, 1 Corinthians 6:14, 2 Corinthians 4:14, Ephesians 1:19 and 20, Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Hebrews 13:20. All talks about this position of total and complete dependency, and it emphasizes that he did not raise himself. If he raised himself, then we could get by with saying there wasn't a Trinity. But you have to see that everything about this mystery of the Trinity instead of the quartet is has to be manifest. Otherwise, the integrity of God isn't real. And it's best realized in this idea, those two places, that he did not raise himself from the dead. And secondly, that when Christ was in Gethsemane and asked for this cup to be taken from him, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine. If anybody ever just talks to you about, or if you ever think there's something that you have to take care of, those are the two primary examples in Scripture where this position of childlike dependence and total reliance has to be made manifest. Now, you can't then have an excuse for doing anything else. Gary.
That it's a little vague to me how you're tying all this to the Trinity. Him not raising himself from the dead. I mean, I can put it together in my head, but I'm
well, we spent a whole Bible study in that about a week ago.
But nobody else remembers it.
The Trinity is about humility. The Father emptied himself into the Son. The Spirit only reveals Christ. And Christ empties himself into the bride. None of them are for self, for self. And that's a thumbnail sketch of the Trinity. And neither can we. That's the whole mystery of humility, that you must empty yourself at all times, no matter what and how distressing the issue may appear to be.
That establishes our relationship with God in that we empty ourselves so that there's no benefit because we're...
Well, there's no this idea of control, and it just becomes sick. I mean, I really believe that most people believe in the quartet, not the Trinity. Does that communicate now?
Thinking of John, either John 5 or John 6, there's another place where Jesus says, "What I see the Father doing."
Right. He didn't have a television screen.
What was your original thought about when you say people say the mind of Christ?
We have the mind of Christ. People always, I've run into this many, many times during a year when I talk about the idea of total emptying. And they say, no, we have now the mind of Christ. And so they think then that their thoughts are sanctified. And if they had any integrity, that would be crazy. But
that would be James Dobson.
Well, yeah, or bunches of others. I mean, all these guys that said Jesus and I were talking, or God and I had this long discussion. Well,
without sin.
But the mind of Christ is he with the word. You remember in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation, and that made of no reputation is the Greek word kino, and it means that he totally and completely emptied himself. And it's the basis for our word for communion. It's the basis of the word for fellowship. There can't be fellowship unless there's emptying. And that's especially true in a marriage and in a body. That's the only way it can be. But the minute you try to protect yourself or be concerned with somebody's response, then it's just death. Amen?
The fourth member of the Trinity.
Are you speaking as?
Yeah, it'd be the bride. It'd be the entity, if anything.
Right, that's why it says God so loved the world, the cosmos, the bride, because the adornment of the bride.
Yeah. Aspect of the Trinity is emptying to that end.
And that's what we empty into.
Yeah. Which is appropriate this time of year.
All right, let's look at a couple in the Old Testament. Go to Psalm 16. Everybody understand this? Psalms, verse, chapter 16.
Yeah, those examples of Jesus are real clear, and there probably aren't any examples where he says stuff like, God gave me this brain, he expects me to use it.
No, he never said that.
I was thinking about the sports figures, they screw the touchdown and then they point up.
Yeah.
It's like me and you, God, we did this. Just thinking about Christ coming out of the grave and going, it's you and me, God. I'm number one.
Preserve me, O God. Well, it says here the miktam of David.
What does that mean?
Miktam is a weird word, but it has something to do with gold or the glory or the mystery or something. Anyway, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my God. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied, that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Now you got to see, remember what we've talked about the Psalms. The Psalms were written by the Spirit of Christ in David. For Christ, as he walked the earth, for Christ in you now. But as long as you put your identity of the flesh and any of the things in there that you think are good, then you've missed the whole mystery of the Psalms. In verse 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God, and their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the only portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall now rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Again, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Again, Jesus walked in 100% dependence on the Father, never leaning on his own arm of understanding for anything. This is after his baptism. But he had to have seen the emptiness of everything, of himself, before he could have been baptized. Peace. All right, Psalm 49.
That's so amazing that there's no record of him up to, you know, 30 or so. Nobody knows what he did.
Yeah, because if they did, everybody would try to copy it.
The movie's coming out, though.
400.
Jesus the Missing Years.
No, it really is.
Jesus the High School Musical.
Oh, God.
That's what that animal is.
Oh, Out of Egypt. Oh, that's right.
He's a vampire.
Hear this, all you people. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp, or my hidden being. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall be pass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth, or it lasts, forever. He that should still live forever and not see corruption. And that's what vanity means in the scriptures. It means that which is subject to corruption. That which is therefore futile, empty, meaningless. You could go around the room today and you could say, oh, I got to deal with this and I got to deal with that and this has got to happen and that's got to happen. I beg of you, don't do that. I beg of you, simply say, Father, I'm yours. Because you can't come up with a solution by using... Well, let's go back to the next verse in Romans 8. Verse 12. You have to read the whole thing. And in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, if we could only understand just those two verses, we'd understand everything we just said earlier. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Well, then what's the flesh? Anything that you can perceive with your senses is of the flesh. You might as well say we are debtors not to anything in time and space. You're debtors not to your thoughts. You're not debtors not to the all these ajillion ideas and things running around in you that say, I got to take care of this, and I got to do that, and then I got to do this, and I got to do that.
This is why we throw the pomegranate.
That's right. Somebody needs to throw a big one for Bloom.
A festering one.
Let's just throw Bloom.
That's the altar. That's tonight, isn't it? We throw the pomegranates.
Sacrificing to the corn king.
We are debtors not to the flesh. Is there anybody that doesn't understand that? What?
I just—it's a universe. It's one sentence, but it speaks to a universe of
crap.
Credit holders, you know.
Creditors.
Creditors, yeah. They're all saying, "Hey, wait! I did this for you. You owe me that. You owe me that. You owe me that. You got an education, so you got to do this. You can do this, so you got to do that.
What about me?" That line of John Mellon's, the Pharaoh who drowned looked a lot like me, comes to mind. I mean, this is, we're debtors not to that Pharaoh. That's the worst person I've ever worked for, it's me. By far the worst taskmaster.
Have you ever seen anyone more than yourself that puts you in any more debt than yourself? In a thousand different ways? I'm not talking about what you show outwardly. That's its job. This totally obliterates the need for your... You are a debtor. You don't owe your flesh anything. You don't owe the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It cannot be. And in that, the carnal mind includes your emotions. You cannot give breath to your emotions of how you feel or how you don't feel. You certainly can't give breath to what's going to happen in the future. If the Son has made you free, you're free from all debt, you're free from all obligation, you're free, period. More free than you could ever imagine.
Make you of no value whatsoever to God, and in the end, to take what you have and burn it up. I mean, it's the worst. It's the worst. I just thought of the worst. This is when you make Jesus your main creditor.
And or God.
Or God, yeah, but you adopt this saying and get rid of all your other creditors and then put him in there as your main creditor. Now you owe him all this stuff.
And now you can't do any of it.
And now you got to be super religious.
Well,
that's just
Molech. Yeah. All right. You remember their stuff. You remember Melech is the true God. Molech is a false God. I promise you, Jesus will never put you in debts. So you never got. You never. You didn't go into debt to Jesus.
To Tammuz.
Well, his name is Tammuz, the resurrection God, or Molech, the false God. Melech.
Whatever it is, it's your own creation of who Jesus is.
Your ideas. That's why he has no form nor comeliness. No beauty that when men see him, it should desire him. All right. Then we'll put the coda on it here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. In dying, you shall surely die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And you mortify them by what? You don't try to mortify. To mortify is just to see right, see rightly. You died on the cross 2,000 years ago. You have never existed. You have invented yourself. Period.
Dead to sin.
And that creation that you've invented, its name is the instead of Christ, sin, death, flesh, Adam. And Jesus Christ was the last Adam. And if he was the last Adam, then who are you? I mean, I don't know how to cement this any more clearly. You've invented yourself, and you haven't done a very good job. You've created a being. Just think of the time. Just think of all of the things. Even now, you model behavior. But think of it when you were a kid. That's all you did is invent. You take a little piece of this and a little piece of that. That's still going on. That's why your only job is to be, not to try to be. That's probably enough. Anybody have any expansions?
Yeah, I was just thinking I'm thinking about it from Satan's standpoint, that if what I feed on is atoms, then it's really bad news that there haven't been any new atoms in 2,000 years, and it's even worse news that the gates of the prison are open.
Let's go to
the only path open to me is deception, is to keep people from
seeing the real you,
from seeing the truth.
Well, we have to do one more verse here.
For as many of us as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, or the children, legitimate children of God. No, you can't be led by the Spirit in your name. You have to be led by the Spirit in abandonment. There's no other way. And doubt becomes your guide. You never make a decision. No matter what anybody's, what it looks like, if there's more than one option, you wait. So that the believer should never make a decision. Now, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No more anxiety. No more free-floating anxiety. No fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the spirit of adoption, you heard me say this many times, the word adoption there is really two Greek words, huiothesios. And it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. This is no longer about you, it's about Him. And because it is, then you cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is the intimate term for God. Not learned by, you know, by somebody teaching you about it. Not you, the fear of God isn't, you haven't learned the fear of God by being taught by men. You've experientially know that the fear of God that you used to think was fear is now Abba, Daddy. There's no more wrath. But all it costs you is your life. No more concerns about the future. No more concerns about anything. You're free. Never again somebody's, you never again, well, if you slip up and then you hear God say, who told you you were naked? And you run back under the, if you get a judgment against somebody, oh my God, I've left the mercy seat, go back quick.
It's interesting. You say all it costs you is your life.
Which you never owned.
Yeah, that has to be tied to the fact that you're dead anyway. And if you don't agree with that, then your life is precious to you. But if all these things line up, you see that your life is just a created fabrication of your own makeup. So the cost isn't really that great at all.
Remember this simple little statement. I don't even remember where it came from. There are two natures within my breast. One is cursed and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Now you feed this false being by giving any breath to the flesh. And you feed the one that's blessed by gaining sustenance, satisfaction, and worth only from the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, everything else but him, you are being led by your appetites, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. You can't just make a little side trip because you saw some pretty dust or something. Oh, that looks like tasty dust. No, because you've seen that all of it is corruption. No more debtor to the flesh. No more paying any attention to carnality, the mind, the emotions. You've been perfected by one offering. Live it. Be ye holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. It's not an ought to. It's a what is if you die to self. Amen? Aren't you tired of eating dust? Don't eat any more dust.
I want to drive a Lexus. Dust the
Lexus. A dusty Lexus. Take a big guy.
Is that a movie star?
Can you help for a little bit, Gary?
No, I can't.
Come on, we'll take it. It'll take us 2 days.
You get it up. I don't, it's not a question of time.